Soviet national dish is pork tartare, and that is something that it's just not good for longevity. Europe, I think, is at an important juncture at this point, probably the most important juncture in its post-war history. And because of the extent to which European developments will eventually affect our own, I think it's very timely that we discuss some of these. There are at least, I would say, three important areas that are likely to significantly impact on U.S. policy within the next year or so. The first would be in the diplomatic arena, which I expect will be discussed here, the implementation of agreements reached over the past couple of years to reduce tensions between the various West European states and the Soviet Union are being implemented faithfully by the West Europeans and being flouted religiously by the Soviets. This problem of implementation is likely to make things diplomatically very difficult because we are simultaneously trying to maintain the momentum of negotiation at the Conference on Security and Cooperation in Europe and also on the Conference on Mutual and Balanced Force Reductions in Geneva. A second area, which I think will also be covered today, is the problem of economic developments in Europe. It is here that the decay is most explicit because virtually all of the major European countries, with the exception of West Germany, have a rate of inflation which exceeds 20% and shows no serious sign of abating. Moreover, the problem is complicated by the emergence of genuinely militant left-wing movements in the major West European political parties, which threaten to undermine any serious efforts to solve economic problems in Europe, something that's is very evident in England, where the National Union of Miners is run by communists, and they simply refuse to make any kind of concession to the British government to enable the British government to cope with the economic problems it faces. I think, finally, the third area that is less conspicuous as a presence as you travel in Europe, but is nevertheless probably the most significant backdrop to all of the developments we have been witnessing, which is the singular obsession of the Soviet Union with military power and its consequent ability to develop a kind of military power that ultimately couples to their diplomatic posture in Western Europe. Some statistics, I think, emphasize the point. The Soviets have about 45,000 tanks west of the Urals. The West Europeans plus the United States in Europe have about one-third that number. And the Soviet forces are well-trained, well-organized for a short, relatively short war, and in general, just very well-prepared to the point where Europeans are totally demoralized on the subject of their own defense. Herman Kahn has described the probable European attitude in a political crisis with the Soviets as one of preemptive surrender should the Soviets attempt to put any pressure on them. And it seems to be something that's well supported by the evidence that is around, that the Europeans simply have no willingness to maintain the kind of military effort that would otherwise be required. Three people we have today who are going to review various dimensions of this problem are Mr. William Rusher, who prior to my speaking with him here this morning, I had expected for him to discuss European agriculture with a specific reference to Bordeaux. He assures me that his boundless energy has been directed towards the understanding of the future of representative government in Western Europe, and I think we'll all be interested in knowing if it indeed has a future. Wilson Schmidt, to my right, is very well known to most of you as a very distinguished economist, among other things, a member of the Shadow Open Market Committee, which he assures me will not take over should the Democrats come to power. And he's now teaching at VPI, and has been a former official in the Treasury Department. And finally, Professor Jim Dornan will discuss some of the political aspects of change in Western Europe. Professor Dornan has recently returned from an extended study of Europe. We are also all assured that it was solid work for 6 weeks, courtesy of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And he is now chairman of the Department of Politics at Catholic University and a very conscientious observer of political developments in Western Europe. So I think we'll begin with Mr. Rusher, and I will use the chairman's prerogative of being utterly ruthless on constraining speakers to a 15-minute time limit so that we can have some useful discussion. Mr. Rusher.